Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 348, stanzas 1 and 2. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. 348, we sing stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in Psalm 81. But first, we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Psalm 81. to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and the law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, creator of all things and upholder of all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. And Lord, in thy goodness and mercy and long-suffering patience, we may again gather together as a congregation in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us from thy precious living word. And Lord, we beg and ask thee then, as we have gathered together, that thou would gather with us and give those blessings that no man can give us, those blessings that we need for hearts, for our souls. Lord, we have been born, and at thy time we will also die. And between the cradle and the grave is a time of preparation, a time to prepare to meet thee, that almighty, majestic, glorious God of heaven and earth, against whom we have sinned. Lord, thou hast created us perfect. After creation, thou couldst say, behold, it is very good, no sin. And now thou art yet looking upon us, and thou can only say, there is none good, no, not one. All of us, whoever we are, children, boys, girls, adults, teenagers, seniors, whether we are also office bearers or to be installed as an office bearer by nature, there is no good thing in us. It's all sin, and only by thy grace there may be that beginning of true obedience, of doing thy will, longing to serve thee and to follow thee. O Lord, when we reflect upon what we have heard in this morning, oh, may there have been many who tremble, many, may it be, who've come lost, but also thy people, begging, crying, sighing, Lord, thou knowest my heart. Search me, try me, and lead me in that way of everlasting life. And Lord, thou art that one who is the faithful one to thy word. And thou art that one who is a merciful one to unworthy sinners. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And Lord, in this evening, then we beg thee, remember the whole congregation and all those who have gathered with us and are listening along. O Lord, we all have the same name, sinner, before thee. And we all need that same Savior. And Lord, we may know and hear that we are a sinner. And we may hear there is a Savior, and yet no need. Oh, may it become a wonder unto us for the first time or by renewal that thou art yet willing to speak and to call and to exhort sinners. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, Lord, may it also be many who have opened their mouth wide unto thee before coming to thy house, begging thee for a blessing. But may it be also in the service that there is beggars and sighers crying out unto thee, opening their mouth wide and crying unto thee to visit, to come, to bless thy word, to renew sinners, to draw to thyself, to turn sinners, and they will be turned. But Lord, thou also knowest thy people. Oh, how they long for a little crumb of thy mercy, a little crumb of thy favor. Oh, that thou would visit them and comfort them with thyself. Oh, may it be tonight through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thou knowest those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, who only have a heart of stone. And Lord, we beg thee that thou would take away those hearts of stone and give a heart of flesh, a teachable heart, a heart that by thy grace comes to true repentance, fleeing away from all sin, but also through the preaching of thy word, that faith is worked in their hearts, in thee, and that almighty covenant faithful keeping Jehovah and in thy dear Son, that precious Savior of sinners. Lord, wilt thou then bless thy word? Thou knowest each heart what is needed. Thou knowest those who need correction and admonishment. Those sheep are going astray, bring them back. Thou knowest those who need instruction in doctrine, but also these dear brothers who will be installed. O Lord, wilt thou remember them also with all their cares and needs as they tonight they will begin in the office called by thee to be an elder and a deacon who is sufficient for these things. But oh, may they also hear that exhortation from thee, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Lord, thou art the faithful God. Give that we may be office bearers, thy servant, as a minister, elders, deacons. Oh, may we be those beggars that open our mouth wide unto thee, praying and crying and sighing for the flock that thou hast entrusted unto our responsibility. Lord, teach us to pray. Give the spirit of prayer and supplication. Give true humility to bow before thee, but also to look unto thee, from whom cometh all our help. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember those who are mourning. Many among us are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost a child, other relative. Lord, we beg thee, thou art the God of all comfort. Oh, wilt thou comfort them and teach us of that only comfort in life and in death, that I belong not to myself, but that I belong to that faithful Savior. Lord, we know historically that comfort, but may it be experientially taught and learned and felt in the hearts and souls of wretched sinners. To the glory of thy name, and to their comfort. We beg and ask thee that thou would remember thy servants throughout the entire world. Help each one. Lord, we're sons of men, and we remain sons of men. Instruct us by thy word and spirit, that we may instruct those that are on that way to a never-ending eternity. O, wilt thou give that we may faithfully divide thy word and proclaim it, law and gospel. And may thy law be that schoolmaster that may bring unto that precious Savior. O, wilt thou give opening also tonight to lift up his name, to speak well of the King, to speak a little of his riches, of his goodness, and how he longs to satisfy poor, needy, wretched sinners, that they would come unto him and open their mouth wide, and that he would delight to fill them. O Lord, we beg thee then, if thou wilt close, who can open? But if thou wilt open, who can close? Give opening then to preach the precious gospel and those unsearchable riches of that precious Savior for sinners. Lord, we ask that thou would remember then also the education of our children. Bless it in the home, in the schools. Lord, we pray for Rehoboth Christian School. Remember the board, the president, the principals, vice principals, the entire staff, all those who work at Rehoboth Christian School. Help them. Give God-fearing teachers, and bless thy word richly to the students, to children, to boys and girls, to teenagers. Oh, may there be many Timothys who are instructed in thy word, and that may know thee from a young age. Oh, that they may have that spirit of Joseph. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, help us as parents. Give faithfulness to the promise that we have made to instruct our children to the utmost of our power in the truths of thy precious word. Forgive all our sins, also as parents. Remember us in our marriages. Give faithfulness. Give love to one another, and that we may be helpmeets, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Lord, we beg and pray thee. Thou knowest the great need also upon this earth. Thou art the King of the church, and thou hast said that we are to pray unto thee, that thou would thrust out labors into thy vineyard. Lord, we are saddened that this year no men came forward. Lord, we beg thee, do not pass us by. Wilt thou give opening? Wilt thou thrust out men who have thy grace and are called by thee, that thou would open the doors? Lord, it's thy work. Unto whom can we go but unto thee? Wilt thou speak through thy word, and that they must surrender, and they must say, woe is I, if I preach not the gospel. Lord, we beg thee. There are so many pulpits that are vacant, such a need throughout the world, but also on the mission field, also in Bolivia and other parts of the world, also in Israel. Lord, we beg thee then, do it for thy name's sake and for the coming generation. We pray and ask thee to remember the government. Oh, may we be given to pray for them. Lord, at times we feel it so hopeless, such an impossibility. And yet, Lord, give that bowing before thee and that need for them, that we may pray for them, for the prime minister and all those whom thou hast placed over us. Oh, work in their hearts, Lord, that they may begin each day on their knees, reading thy precious word, crying unto thee for wisdom. Oh, that they may have the fear of the Lord. And then we think of Bill C-9. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, yet thou art that almighty God. May it yet be cast out. May that law not come and be signed as law in this nation. that thy word may yet be fully and freely proclaimed. Lord, remember us in thy mercy. Do not leave us. Do not forsake us. We beg and pray thee that thou would bring to repentance also of our national sins. Oh, we sin against all thy commandments. Thy day is desecrated, and life is not respected from the moment of conception until natural death. Oh, Lord, there's so much blood, so much sin that cries unto thee. What a wonder that we are yet freely able to gather in thy house, that thy word may be proclaimed. Lord, we beg thee, give repentance, convict of sin, and give that tender fear of the Lord in hearts, that sin may be hated and righteousness may be loved and sought and followed and obeyed. Lord, remember that family whom we have sponsored. Lord, if it is thy will, wilt thou also open the way that they may come to also be here, to hear thy precious word, that it may be a blessing unto them. Lord, remember all lonely ones, all single ones. Lord, care for them, help them. And we pray, Lord, that thou would then remember also all those with addictions. Oh, that power, wilt thou break it? Thou art an almighty God. As we read in thy word, thou hast delivered those who are under the power of Satan, and thou art that same God with the same power. Oh, we beg thee, break all addictions. Remember all those who suffer with wounds of abuse. Lord, give healing, give repentance to those who have done such criminal acts. Give that they may flee away from it. Lord, we beg thee, look upon us all in mercy then. And may we ask thee tonight to be with us, to open thy word, open ears, enlighten minds, open hearts, and bless it. And may we beg thee again, remember also these two brothers who must answer questions. Oh, may they do it with a sense of thy nearness and with thy help, looking to thee, and may it be with expectation for who thou art for poor and needy sinners. Lord, wilt thou then gather with us, give a blessing upon thy word, do it for thy name's sake. There's no reason in us. We're polluted, we're sinful in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, in our motives. But Lord, we beg thee that thou would look upon us, hear us, answer us, because of thy dear Son who sits at thy right hand, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 431. All stanzas, if necessary. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel. Lofty anthems sing, glorious are his ways. To his name give praise with the harp and timbrel. 431, all stanzas necessary. And the collections for this evening is the first for the church and the second for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. here, congregation, for this evening's worship service, also in connection with the installation of our dear brothers, one as elder, one as deacon. I'd like to ask your attention to the word of God, which we can read in Psalm 81, verse 10. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So who's speaking in this text? The Almighty, faithful, covenant God. And we read in this text an exhortation. So our theme tonight is God's exhortation to prayer. God's exhortation to prayer. It will focus on the last phrase. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And so two thoughts. First, an encouraging command. Open thy mouth wide. An encouraging command. And second, an abundant promise. And I will fill it. So God's exhortation to prayer. An encouraging command. Open thy mouth wide. An abundant promise. And I will fill it. So we read at the end of this verse in Psalm 81, verse 10, open thy mouth wide. We hear an encouraging command. No, it's not a harsh command. It's an encouraging, inviting command. Who is speaking? Who is giving this encouraging command? From whose mouth does this come? To the Israelites, to us, but also to you, brothers? Whose name do we read in this verse? Look in your Bible. Psalm 81, verse 10. We read, I am the Lord thy God. And so we see the word Lord, all capital letters. And children, whenever you see that in the Bible, it's speaking of the Almighty, covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah, the creator of all things, the upholder of all things, the I am that I am. Who is he speaking to? Well, we read in verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. And we also read in verse 10, our text, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So to whom is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Israelites. He's speaking to his covenant people. Those whom he has chosen and poured so many blessings upon. And whom he has delivered out of Egypt in a very wonderful, powerful way from the cruel bondage of the Egyptians. But this same blessed people had turned to idols. We read in verse 9, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. And we read also in verse 12, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. And now when we consider this psalm, Asaph is the poet, the great psalmist in Israel. And many of his psalms were written reflecting on the history of Israel, of what God in his greatness and goodness had done unto them, for them. And he exhorts them to praise him. And in the psalm, he also rebukes them. But he also holds before them the good that he would be willing to pour out upon such wicked sinners if they would but hear. And so we come to verse 8. We read, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. So he's calling those Israelites, the covenant people, to hear. Hear. Hear my voice. Hear my exhortation. Hearken unto me. Hearken unto my encouraging command to you. The people that he had so wonderfully, miraculously, in his goodness and mercy, cared for, brought out of Egypt, brought through the wilderness, and brought into the land of Canaan. and had rebelled against him so many times. A continual murmuring and complaining and unbelieving people. And in that land flowing with milk and honey, they had begun to turn unto idols. And yet that same almighty covenant faithful keeping Jehovah gives an encouraging command to such people. What a wonder. What a wonder also, brothers, he wants to give you tonight an encouraging command as you begin in the office of an elder and a deacon. What a mercy and goodness and long-suffering patience of the Almighty God. He had separated the Israelites and he had poured out his blessings upon them. They had heard law. They had heard gospel. They heard invitations, threats, commands. How blessed were they? Listen to what Paul says in Romans 9, verse 4. Who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? And God exhorts such rebellious sinners, so absolutely unworthy to even open their sinful lips unto such an almighty holy God. The Israelites to whom have offended him to his very heart, yet calls unto them, desiring to do good unto them. We read in verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. We hear pain, we hear longing from the lips of the Almighty God to such rebellious people. But what about you and me? What about you, brothers? What about you and me? What about you, children? What about you, congregation? And whoever you are here, in God's mercy, he has also separated us. Also again tonight, to listen to his precious word. It's his goodness, it's his mercy, that we may yet hear the word of God. And I believe maybe most of us, maybe all of us, have been separate. We have that name on our forehead of a triune God. And he has said, I want to pour so many blessings upon you. We've heard law and gospel. How many years? We heard promises, invitations, threats. We hear the full counsel of God. But what do we do with these blessings? Are we better than the Israelites? Not at all. Because we are born as them. How were we born? By nature, enemies of God. By nature, rebellious. By nature, only idol worshippers. By nature, we will not have this man ever rule over us. You were also born in this state. Is this still your case, children? Whoever you are, is this still your case, enemies? Or have you become willing in the day of his power? Has he come with his grace and renewed you? And in the day of his power, you have been made willing, what? To confess, I'm sin. Willing to do his will. Has the Lord made you willing? And brothers, you have willingly accept the office that you have been called to in God's providence. And we may believe by God's grace, he has made you willing. Congregation, dear brothers, it's amazing that the Lord still wants to speak unto us rebellious sinners. Hear, hearken unto me. And he wants you to hear. He wants you to hearken unto him as you begin as an elder and as a deacon. And he gives an encouraging command. What does he speak? Open thy mouth wide. God created the Israelites. God created you and me, boys and girls, all of us, with a mouth. We use our mouth every day. We do many good things and we do many bad things. Think of the Israelites. They could sing, they could pray, but they also did so much murmuring and complaining. But what about you and me? We can read, we can speak the word of God, we can pray, we can sing, but we also do so many sins with our mouth. With our mouth. And yet, what does God, that Almighty God that made us perfect also to use our mouth for one purpose, to glorify Him, and by nature we don't do one spark of this. And yet He calls an encouraging command, open thy mouth wide. He calls to all, but He also calls to His people, because in this verse is also those whom He has delivered, no, not out of Egypt, from out of the power of Satan and sin. As He also delivered you, He still gives an encouraging command, open thy mouth wide. What does it mean, open thy mouth wide? It means to make great. Children, when you run, you open your mouth wide because you need extra air for your lungs to live. We open our mouths wide to receive the blessings of the Lord, for example, as food. Or if we are in a very great need, we open our mouth wide to call unto Him for help. But do you? Do I? Open our mouth wide unto the Almighty God with our heart, with our mouth? What an encouraging command. Open thy mouth wide. Wide. What does it mean? We need to listen to this command as a Jew at that time, because it has also connection to the culture. How did they understand this? It's referring to a custom at this time when there was a feast and the guest of honor. That guest of honor was to receive the best, the choicest, the most juiciest part of the meat at the feast. And then they were called to be honored, to open their mouth wide with expectation to receive an absolute abundance of the best, of the choicest. Open thy mouth wide. What is it referring to? It's referring to sinners, wretched sinners, to cry unto Him, to open their mouth wide, because He wants to fill it, because He wants to bless them. Oh, what blessings are in Him. I think of the blessings of the gospel, of those riches through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice, through His blood, through His righteousness. What did David pray? What do we read in Psalm 63, verse 5? My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. What is that? That's the best. That's the choicest. That's the riches of the gospel. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And so He gives an encouraging command. He proclaims it to all, to cry unto Him, especially His people, but also to you, brothers, to cry unto Him, and I will fill it. I will fill it with the best. No, not what you desire is the best, but the best that He sees is fit for you, day by day. And then to be able to go forward in that office, to be able to hand out a little crumb here, a little crumb there, and then we come again as beggars, opening our hands that He would fill it, opening our mouths unto Him wide. What does it speak about? It speaks of an urgency. Urgency. A need. A need. By nature, there is no need. There is no urgency. We hear what we need. We hear who we are. We hear who He is. And we don't open our mouths. Yes, we pray, but we do not really pray. When? When will a sinner really open his mouth wide unto the Almighty God of heaven and earth? When there's a need. When there's a real soul need. And by nature, who are we? Open your Bible to Revelation 3, verse 17. By nature, we are proud, self-sufficient, rich, no need. We have everything. Oh, we pray, but not as a need. Why? Because we have no need, and we think and live as we read in Revelation 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is you by nature. He gives an encouraging command to pour out, to open our mouth wide unto Him. We hear it, but do we really cry unto Him? What do we need? We need to be taught who we are, of our wretchedness, of our pollution, of our nakedness, having nothing to cover before his righteous eyes, lost, and yet needing to be righteous to be able to meet him in peace. What a blessing. Because when a sinner begins to understand a little something of who they are, in their guilt, in their pollution, in their corruption, and then to hear that the Lord, he says, he gives an encouraging command, open thy mouth wide, then it becomes a wonder. May I open my mouth unto him? Does he really want to hear me? Does he want to hear this sinful elder? Does he want to hear this sinful deacon? Does he want to hear this sinful servant? Does he want to hear this sinful boy, girl, member? And he says, open thy mouth wide. And then they begin to stammer, to pray, to cry unto him, pouring out their needs. How do they pray? Why do they pray? What are they taught in the school of grace? How will they pray? They will begin to pray how? As a publican. Brothers, do you know that? As a publican? Guilty? Lost? God be merciful to me, a sinner. I pray you know this. An encouraging command. What else is there? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. It's to come as a beggar. To come as an unworthy beggar. No rights as the publican. To pray in humiliation, looking unto him, confessing your sin, and yet needing him. As blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me. But it's also opening your mouth wide. It's to pray in humiliation, with urgency, bowing, but also in faith. In faith. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They begin to open their mouth wide. No rights. Bowing as a guilty sinner. No rights. As a lost sinner in humiliation. And yet looking to him. Looking to him with expectation. Yes, with expectation. Because of who they are. Do you have expectation in self? I don't think so when I talk to you. You have no expectation. Good, and may it remain there. But may you have great expectation in him, in that Almighty God. May you be given to open your mouth wide unto him. Expectation because of who he is. Because of that Almighty Covenant, faithful God. And what he has given through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he encourages them. Open thy mouth wide. You may pour it all out unto him. Hoping in him because of who he is. I am the Lord thy God. With expectation. And now I'd like to give a little illustration, especially for the children. You see in a tree. You see a little nest. And in that nest, there's some birds. And then you see the mother bird coming to that nest. What do those little birds do? You've seen it, I'm sure. Those little birds, they see their mother coming. And what do? They open their mouth wide. They open their mouth wide, expecting that the mother will care for them, will feed them, will fill them. They look and they see their mother coming, and they have expectation in her. Congregation, by God's grace, may we become like this little bird. Brothers, may you become and remain as this little bird. Elders, deacons, may we be like those little birds. Opening our mouth wide, expecting nothing in self, but everything from him. That we may daily open our mouth wide unto him. This glorifies him. This honors him. May you be like a little bird. Today already. In the past maybe. But today and for the rest of your life. Like a little bird. Opening your mouth wide unto him. In humiliation. No expectation in the flesh. But looking to him. For your own soul. For the souls of your family. But also now, also as you're placed in the office for this flock, that you may open your mouth wide unto him for your own soul, but also for the congregation, that you may daily on your knees be like we read in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a blessing if we may be just like those little birds. Let's sing about it. Psalter 150, 1, 3, and 4. Psalter 150, 1, 3, and 4. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 150, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Exhortation to pray, an encouraging command, open thy mouth wide. And now our second thought, an abundant promise. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Who is this promise from? It's from the Almighty Covenant Faithful Keeping Jehovah, he who made everything. He has the power. He has the ability and he has the willingness to do what he promises. And he says, I will. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful to his promise. He's faithful to his threats. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We ate, we died spiritually. We're worthy of physical death and eternal death. He is that almighty God who says in his word, I have not said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Man can give commands, promises, but we're incapable to secure that what we promise would actually take place, or we forget, or we say, I never said that. But God, we read something so beautiful of him who speaks tonight through his word. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it, from Numbers 23 verse 19. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it? Hath he said it? And shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? He gives an encouraging command, open thy mouth wide and I will. I will fill it because I am who I am. I'm that faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah. We give commands, encouraging commands to our children. Teachers do it to their students. Employers do it to their employees. And we give them a command and we give them a promise. Why? So that they would be encouraged to do what we command them. And now the Lord, that almighty covenant-keeping Jehovah, gives an encouraging command and he gives a promise. Why? Because he wants them to hear. He wants them to hearken. He does everything to encourage such unworthy, wretched sinners that they would begin, yes, by his grace, to cry unto him, because he has a longing to fill needy, wretched, lost, guilty sinners. He has a longing to fill incapable office bearers that can only begin and say, I have nothing. And it will continue, I have nothing. Lord, help. And so he gives an encouraging command to cry unto him, and that we may look to him to fill it. Are you a father? You have needs? Open your mouth wide. Are you a mother? Single, lonely, grieving? Are you sick? Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. He calls us that we may pour out all our needs for our bodies. But he also speaks unto us that we may bring all our soul needs. You need a new heart, boy, girl, teenager? You need a new heart, older one? He says, open thy mouth wide. Cry unto me and I will fill it, because he has the power. Do you need comfort for your soul? Comfort? Are you comfortless? I need a visit. I need a comfort from the Almighty God. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Oh, he can comfort as no father can comfort, as no mother can comfort. He can comfort through his son, through the blood, through the Lamb of God, for wretched sinners. He can comfort office bearers who go home so many times, so disappointed with self. He can comfort them. Do you need forgiveness of sins? Are you guilty, lost, walking with the burden of sin? He calls, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Do you need a clean heart? Do you long to be made holy, to serve him more and more because he's so worthy? He calls, open thy mouth wide. I have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I have delivered thee, and I want to do thee good, my dear children. Cry unto me. Do you need refreshing grace? Has it become cold, hard again? Do you need it? He says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, what a wonder. I will fill. What does it mean? It means he will satisfy. Satisfy in what way? As David spoke, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My cup runneth over. That cup, he's explaining, it's full, it's overflowing. There's an abundance of goodness and mercy for wretched sinners, for poor, helpless office bearers. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. We read in Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. They begin to cry because of his grace. And it's his work when they're crying unto him. And he fills his work of grace. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. What does it speak about? It speaks of an abundance, of a greatness. And then I think of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to power that worketh in us. Do you hear it? Do you have an abundant need for your soul, for your life? He speaks tonight. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. How is that possible? How is that ever possible that an almighty God who is so pure, he cannot even look on sin, that he would even call them to cry unto him, to open their sinful lips, and that he even promises to abundantly satisfy. How is that ever possible? How is that possible for that infinite holy God to even hear, but to answer, and to abundantly provide for such poor, needy, wretched, also office bearers? How? Through his dear son, Jesus Christ. He cried, and there was no answer. Listen to what we read in Psalm 22, 1 and 2. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. The Lord Jesus Christ, how is it possible? Because of him. He went that way to be that sacrifice, to satisfy the justice of God. And on the cross, he cried, but there was no answer. Why? Because he had to die. He was under the wrath of God. And God the Father turned away his face from him. And he cried, my God, my God. And yet he went willingly. He did this willingly. Why? So that wretched sinners, wretched office bearers that cry unto him, he can answer. Because of him, because of his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's through him and through him alone that he can even give this command, encouraging command, and that he can promise, and I will fill it. He's the water of life. A thousand, a million, an innumerable multitude of the most wretched, needy sinners can drink from that fountain, and they will not cause that fountain to become one less abundant, because there's such a riches in him. He's that bread of life. He's that greater Joseph, the Zaphnath Paranea, the bread of life. He has abundant of bread for the chiefest of sinners, and they can eat, and they can eat, and they can eat, and he still has an abundance. That's who he is through his son. Let's go back to the nest again. You see that nest? I see that mother bird coming, and I see a bird, a little baby bird. She doesn't open her mouth. It's just there in the nest. What does it imply, children? If you saw that, what would you think of that bird? You would say that bird is sick or that bird is dead. Is that an illustration of you? The Lord gives an encouraging command to cry unto him. And are you just silent? Silent? Maybe even worse, just ignoring him like the Israelites? He cried unto them, and oh, he cried with pain, oh, that thou would hearken unto me, because I would fill them with so much good honey from the rocks. But they just turned to idols. Oh, what a pain that must have been to him. The Lord, must he say of you, is it still that way? Your mouth is not open wide. We read in verse 11, But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel will none of me. And yet, he still calls tonight. Again, one more time. Maybe this will be the last time you hear it. I don't know, because life is uncertain. And yet he calls, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But how long? How long? How long will he still call? How long? How long will you harden your hearts? Oh, I pray that he would not do to you and to me as we read in verse 12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, what a judgment that would be if we continually to harden our hearts. Yes, it's our guilt. He calls and we don't answer. And that he would then give up to our own loss. What a judgment. But let's look at that nest again. I see some other birds. I see that mother coming. And those little birds open their mouth wide. Wide open. Because they see her coming. They have expectation. They have an urgent need. And they're waiting, longing, looking. May that be the picture of you, brothers. May that be the picture of you, of me. May that be picture of us by God's grace. Do you pray? How do you pray? May I ask you, Church of God, do you pray? As we heard, open thy mouth wide. Why do we receive so little? Why? Is it because we feel our need so little? Is it because faith is so little? Is it because we live so much with the world? Is it because we have so little thoughts of the Almighty God? May we repent. Do we have such little zeal for his name, for his honor, for his glory? Listen to a poem that I heard dear Reverend Vogler say so many times. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Why? Because of who he is, through his son. Maybe become beggars. Brothers, do you feel your incapabilities, weakness, helplessness? Oh, may you be given to hear his word. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. In all your weakness, in all your insufficient, may you be comforted with what we read of Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is a blessed life. This is a blessed people. This is a blessed boy or girl, adult, older one. This is a blessed office bearer that may rest in all their weakness, looking to him, needing his grace, and that it's sufficient. Brothers, we're fathers. We all are, every one of us, as office bearers. But we're also fathers of this congregation. May we be what we read in Lamentations 2, verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy children that faint for hunger in the top of the streets. Sinners are perishing. They're perishing. Dying. Comfortably dying in the congregation. What's the hope? What's the hope that they come to a real need and begin to cry unto him for bread, for real bread for their souls, or they'll perish? Can we have expectation? Nothing in us. But we may be like a little bird, opening our mouth unto that almighty covenant God. May it be so. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, what a wonder that thou art yet willing to speak unto us polluted, sinful, wretched people, but also to call unto us. Open thy mouth wide and to give that promise, I will fill it. O Lord, wilt thou apply thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may it be for the first time or by renewal, that sinners may open their mouth wide unto thee, and oh, may we be given to taste of those wonders, of the riches, of the grace, of that marrow and fatness of the gospel through thy dear Son. Lord, remember us now as we hope to read the form. Help our brothers to answer the questions. Give a sense of thy nearness and dependence upon thee and thy grace, Lord, we ask. In the forgiveness of our many sins, for Jesus' sake, amen. We will now read the form of ordination of elders and deacons, which you can find in your Psalter, I believe, on page 145. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren, Mr. Stephen Van Voort and Mr. André Bai, here present, who are chosen to the office of an elder and a deacon in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution of the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders, it is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament, and signifies a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there are two sorts of elders in the apostolic church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office, namely, that they had oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards, particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church. 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them. As in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent, as much as possible, the sacraments from being profaned. Also to act, according to Christian discipline, against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst the Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office we read in Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of those things which were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he hath need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose, because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle speaketh of this office, saith, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires in Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with extra gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. May I ask the two brothers to please stand. To that end, therefore, Mr. Stephen Van Voort and Mr. André Bye, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. In the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. And thirdly, whether ye promise, agreeably to the said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, ye elder in the government of the church together with the minister of the word, and ye deacon in the ministration of the poor, do you also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? Mr. Stephen Van Voort, what is your answer? Mr. André Bai, what is your answer? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with all with his grace, that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Dear brothers, welcome on behalf of the consistory. We are sinful men, and we remain sinful men. And yet the Lord has called. And we read in his precious word, faithful is he that calleth, who will also do it. My prayer for you is that in all your weakness, you may be, as we read from 2 Corinthians, that you may be resting, trusting in his grace for such unworthy sinners, and that you may be like a little bird, with your mouth open every day again unto him, begging him for your need, and looking to him. And he doesn't fill our pockets so that we can walk without him for days and months. No, you will experience that every day you need his help again. That's a good place to be as a poor, needy elder, deacon, looking to him, and that he provides in his way, at his time, as what we need day by day. And may you taste yourself of what you may handle. That's a blessing. When you may preach, or when you may go, as I need to do, or as you may go on visitations to the family, or sit with a poor sinner, and that you may open the word, and what you may share with them, that you may taste it for your own soul, and that you may speak out of it. Congregation, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for these new office bearers. We need your prayers daily. We need to be carried on the wings of prayer. Lay us, sinful men, before the throne of grace, begging the Lord to guide and to lead us, to be able to guide and lead you. And so we will read the rest of the form. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church, which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord, faithful in your offices, and hold the mysteries of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good decree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide for the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally, and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit. And deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that has stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and that the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope, endowed with Thy Spirit, we beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortation of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts to those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would like to ask now the congregation to rise and to sing as a prayer Psalter 246, stanzas 3, and immediately after we will sing the doxology, 436, verse 3. So please rise to sing Psalter 246 as a prayer. So let there be on us bestowed the beauty of the Lord our God, the work accomplished by our hand, establish Thou and make it stand. Yea, let our hope for labor be established evermore by Thee. 246, stanzas 3. dear congregation, to receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.